Now, today is the 20th anniversary of the tragic 7/7 London bombings, one of the deadliest terrorist attacks in the United Kingdom. At 8:50 this morning, London time, on July the 7th, 2005, suicide bombers struck three tube trains and a bus, killing 52 people and injuring over 770. Careful commemorations have taken place throughout the day today in Hyde Park and St. Paul's Cathedral, led by King Charles III, Prime Minister Keir Starmer, and Home Secretary Yvette Cooper, who collectively emphasized unity, remembrance, and resilience in the face of extremism. I'm joined on the line now by Hayley Bentley, a UK-based journalist and the former Middle East Bureau Chief for Channel News Asia, to explore what this day's lasting legacy is in the UK and how the commemorations are unfolding. Hayley, thank you so much for joining us. What's the atmosphere like in London where you are, and how are people marking this anniversary?
So, Paula, there's a quiet reverence in the city today. Ceremonies, like you say, have been held in Hyde Park and at St. Paul's Cathedral, where King Charles and Prime Minister Starmer have been paying tribute. Now, families of the victims have been laying wreaths and reading the names of their loved ones out aloud. So for Londoners, they remember 7/7 not just for its horror, but for the resilience that followed afterwards. It's one of those days where strangers actually stop, look up from their phones and reflect. And the sense of solidarity is still very much here.
It's very sad. I mean, when you say families have been laying wreaths, one of those families is the family of 32-year-old Miriam Hyman, who was one of the victims. And her family is pushing for social cohesion to be taught in schools. What is your take on that?
Well, this is, of course, a powerful idea, Paula. Miriam Hyman was one of the victims on the bus that exploded in Tavistock Square, and her family believe education can prevent radicalization by encouraging empathy and shared identity early on. And they believe that social cohesion isn't just about tolerance, it's about a sense of belonging. And in a time where division is being stoked online and in politics, teaching young people how to live together respectfully does feel essential.
In 2005, when it happened, we saw massive acts of unity. Today, is the same spirit still there?
So, to some extent, yes, but it's more complicated now. In 2005, Londoners came together almost instinctively. There was no social media to polarize the narrative. Whereas today, even though you do see unity, it's fractured. There's more distrust, especially between and amongst communities. And that said, during the commemorations, you could see people yearning for that same collective spirit. And there's still some pride in what Londoners have come through, even if the social fabric does feel thinner.
Hayley, how do leaders like King Charles and Keir Starmer use this moment to speak about extremism today?
So both leaders were very measured. King Charles spoke about resilience and remembrance without politicizing the day, while Starmer acknowledged the evolving nature of extremism. They both used the moment to condemn all forms of hate, whether it's Islamist, far-right, or anti-Semitic. And there was a real emphasis on national unity, on not letting terrorism define who we are. It was respectful, and I think it landed well with the public.
There's talk of threats evolving, not just Islamist, but as you mentioned, far-right, and even cyber. Do you think the 7/7 legacy still serves as a useful warning?
Definitely, Paula. 7/7 was a wake-up call, but it also taught us about blind spots. Today, the threats have diversified. Lone wolf attackers, online radicalization, disinformation campaigns. The legacy of 7/7 is that vigilance can't be reactive. It has to be proactive. It reminds us to constantly adapt and to invest not just in policing, but in community-level trust building and early warning systems.
Any new voices or survivors stepping into the spotlight this year with fresh reflections?
Actually, yes, this is a very good question and an important point to note. There's been more from younger voices, people who were teenagers in 2005 and are only now processing it fully. There's one survivor, Saja Mughal, who was on the Piccadilly line, and she's become a strong voice against all forms of extremism, including misogyny and online hate. And these new reflections are less about the day itself and more about its ripple effects on identity, faith and fear. It's very powerful to hear how people have grown with their grief.
I mean, as you were talking about young voices coming forward, I was thinking 20 years. It's 20 years since it happened. I mean, it doesn't feel that long ago. Finally, Hayley, before I let you go, what do you think we as an international audience should take from this anniversary, especially about unity and vigilance in our own communities?
This is an important question, and I'd say we should learn from both the horror and the healing. 7/7 was about devastation, yes, but also about how a city found strength without turning against itself. The UK has made mistakes since then, no doubt, but the key lesson is that extremism thrives in silence and division, and unity isn't just symbolic, it's strategic, and remembrance shouldn't only honor the past, it should also help us to equip us for the present and the future.
That is Hayley Bentley, a journalist in the UK and the former Middle East Bureau Chief for Channel News Asia. Thank you, Hayley, for grounding us in both the memory of 7/7 and, as you say, the living lessons that come with it. We appreciate you drawing those threads from London to all of us around the world.